Hey everybody, what's up? And welcome to what we are provisionally calling the show this time, Say Less with Pearl and Tando. Okay, Say Less. Because we're trying to say less and do more. We're trying to say less and listen more. But it's a podcast, so we've got to actually talk. But, you know, say less sounds cool, so just get into it. Today, what we are trying to, you know, listen more about and do more about is online safety. We're trying to talk about kids and preparing parents out there for online safety. And we're going to talk about some of the incidents that we've had happen recently that affect influencers themselves. So social influence and online safety are basically the core messages we have today. So keep that in mind. And if you have any opinions, any questions, any comments, do tag us on at whatever's going to be down here. Figure out the, you know, the tag for the name. Huh? We're talking about law. There you go. See, this is why I say you can grab it. What else are we talking about, Tando? Tell us.
No, like more specifically law, because he's a.
What about tell us for the show? Tell us.
Tell us. It's a thing with it's
too much of a fad, probably.
No, it's within my friend group. So today here with us we have Rock Wilson. Give it up, guys! Mom clap.
But, okay.
Yes!
Rock Wilson in the building.
Who is a digital law consultant for, what is it?
Digital law company. Yes. Emma Sadler, yeah.
Yes, Emma Sadler came to my school, fun fact.
Is it? Tell us about her.
She came, she's a cool lady. We had our own personal moment as she called me out in the crowd. She didn't mean to, but she was like, oh, is there anyone? No. She was like, is there anyone here who markets or makes money on the or from social media? Obviously, there's no one else in the audience who does that. So obviously me, I stand up and I'm like, me. And she's like, you. And I'm like, yes, me. She's like, you're the only one. And I'm like, yes, I am. And then she's telling me about like the laws behind it, how I need to like read my contracts and stuff like that. And then also how like she needs to give me her card just in case.
Did you get her card?
I did. Where it is, I don't know.
Please. Thankfully, she hasn't needed to call us.
Yeah, I haven't needed to.
Please share her information with us.
No, but I still have it. I still have it somewhere.
Well, I would like to get it from Rourke Wilson, who works there. So were you part of maybe founding the company, or did you just get hired?
No, not at all. Yeah, I'm quite new, but also quite old. So I was also like Tando and had Emma come and speak at my school, and I knew I wanted to study law at the time. So when I finished, I went to study at Edinburgh in Scotland.
Yeah.
And so I had 9 months to kill. So I just sent her an email out of nowhere and said, hey, I'd love some work experience to kill the time. If there's any opening, please have me. And then, yeah, she took me on for
Was this after
months.
You studied at varsity?
Just before I finished varsity, after I finished school.
So also her talk or your interaction with her like kind of stayed with
you? Yeah, the talk stayed with me. I loved the work that she was doing, especially because of how much work that we do pro bono. All cases that we do that involve the protection of children online, we always do pro bono.
Yeah.
So that was one of the things that I really loved about her, was that she was using law as a tool for good, especially like through my studies. I realized in many ways, you know, law can just be a tool used to keep the powerful already powerful, keep the rich rich, keep the status quo like that.
Yeah.
And it's it was seeing someone who really works to change the status quo, to try and fight for people who aren't being fought for. So then when I finished studying and decided the UK sucked and I wanted to live back home, that I came back and just begged her for a job. And she asked me to write this book with her, How Not to Mess Up Online. Teenager's Guide to Not Getting Cancelled, Arrested, Catfished, Sued, or Addicted. Did I say those in the right order? Mostly.
Why did she choose you to write that book with her? So now this is making sure that, you know, you guys understand why he is like got the integrity to speak on a topic. Please pass me the book so I can show it to the audience and browse through
it. So she chose me because I've got the same kind of fascination with the topic that she does, of how the laws interact with our digital world. But also because I come with the lived experience of having had a phone in my hand from the age of 9. That is the... So I bring both the understanding of the laws, but also the lived experience of what... How people actually
nine
use
is crazy.
The devices. And like now, I'm 27. That's old for Gen Z. I'm right on the cusp. Basically a millennial, depending on who you
ask. Don't say that.
I don't say that with any pride. I do identify as Gen Z.
Thanks.
And we know that's
we can see.
Exactly.
We can little, see.
Yeah, we can see. Otherwise, I can't be led around. I don't know what I'm doing.
And it's pretty small. Is people so people still take you seriously as
it's a very queer one
as a law as a law.
Yeah,
person.
Generally, I don't really
see. If you had a gigantic one, it would just be a bit...
No, every now and then I will have an old man being like, oh, I thought that was snot under your nose. But other than it doesn't really tend to impact how I'm seen. I feel like the work that we do really speaks for itself and people can see past, I don't know, something a bit new or different, a piercing that they haven't seen before themselves.
But how did she get to know that you could write?
I've always wanted to be a writer, actually. Creative writing was one of my favorite things to do at school. I wrote a few plays while I was in university.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Yeah, Emma is at that. She's worked hard enough in life that she doesn't need to do things like that. And she can find someone who cares about her topic and can do.
You really
the
can
writing
tell when
well.
She speaks to that she really cares about
no,
the topic.
No, absolutely. And like she's a nightmare to have on radio or TV or anything like that when you've only got 5 minutes to go. Because once you get her talking, she will just keep going for ages about whatever it is because it's
She's
all
passionate
so fascinating
about it.
Yeah.
What is your favorite part of this book to write?
My favorite part
what
your, to
what,
write.
What is the first? If someone said I'm only really willing to read one chapter, and that's the only chapter you have to hook me onto the book, which chapter would that be?
Okay, it wasn't my favorite to write, but the one chapter you have to read is the chapter 9, Lots of Laws. That is the most important. That lays out
lots of laws. So you've written it so she probably chose it because like. If I have a Gen Z helping me write it, I can get Gen Zs to read it because it's going to connect with them.
Exactly.
All right, cool. So who is this book targeted to?
It's targeted to teenagers before they've gotten their first phone, ideally. Like that's a 13-year-old. We don't want kids, ideally younger than 16, having phones.
Mm-hmm.
But the best case scenario is you give that book to your child before they get their phone as a sort of like driver's license. Your license
all right, cool.
to post is... You've read through and can understand this.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, under our legal framework, they will be held legally responsible if it's a crime from the age of 12,
okay.
if they commit one. So,
quickly, are you guys happy with where his mic is, right? Okay, perfect.
Sweet. Wait, I have a genuine question. Like, to my knowledge, we don't have juvie in this country.
We don't have juvie. So, like, very often when a child commits a crime, they'll often be diverted away from the system. So we'll try to get them doing community service, doing sort of like round tables with the victims.
What if it's like a murder?
Well, that's there is no juvie per se. You just go to jail. But in many cases, we do try to at least divert kids away. So still bring consequences, still get them a criminal
record. They don't
have
like a small section for the little ones, the young ones.
I don't think that's
your
area of expertise either, like murder and all that. I wouldn't.
No, murder. But I mean, we've got a case right now. The boy can't be named because he's under 18 and it's illegal to name a child who's in conflict with the law. But there was a 16, 17-year-old boy who murdered Devaney Null in KZN. And he had been found guilty, allegedly, I think, of raping someone else when he was 13. So this is...
This is reoccurring. And his parents... What?
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know much about the Devaney Null story other than that it happened and that we can't name the guy because
So you don't know his ethnicity? No,
I don't know his ethnicity. I don't know anything like that.
Because I don't know, if you're allowing your child to... Well, not allowing. Maybe the parents mm-hmm. didn't allow, but, like, you... He's alleged of raping someone at the age of 13.
Mm-hmm.
And... He was allowed to be put in a situation where that is another possibility. And instead of not only going that far, but going as far to murder another person's child is kind of crazy.
Yeah, no. And there's so many failings that are exposed through that. Like just how overrun our criminal justice system is one of the things that, like, I think that's why a kid like that likely then would have gone free and then be able to go again. But even like that overrunness of the justice system I see in my work. And to the police, a cybercrime, someone spreading your news around, that's small fry. They're dealing with someone whose daughter was murdered, you know, and about five other murder cases, and now you're coming to me saying...
And I mean, we don't even have, I think, we don't have water and electricity sometimes.
No.
Do we have infrastructure to re-educate the police to keep them, like... on par with what is happening in terms of how the law is changing and how they need to enforce it.
But also, wouldn't it, like, I guess the police, like, oh, I'm going to call the police, doesn't have like a big effect in this country. But then at the same time, wouldn't it depend on whether they're pressing charges or not? As it, like, I get it's a crime, but I'm saying in this country, in that context, I'm not sure. That's why I'm asking.
Could you rephrase that question?
Yeah, I'm so confused.
I'm also confused, but yeah. It made sense in my head. Okay, listen, right? So is this a federal crime? Is that what
we don't have federal
crime? Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah. Okay, basically. So if a cybercrime has happened, mm-hmm. right? And the person threatens, oh, I'm going to call the police.
Mm-hmm.
Is the that victim. Them... Yeah, is yeah. that them pressing charges?
No, that's
pressing
not them
charges
pressing
is going to the police station and pressing a charge.
Yeah, okay, illegal. And then I can see that I'm confused, but I also understand.
I just wanna, if it's okay with you, I just wanna conclude, like, just kind of discussing the book mm-hmm. a bit more, and then moving forward to other things that are happening, like in terms of current affairs and how they affect people, so people can relate to the information you have to share. We're very excited to have you here, and thank you so much for making time for us. And also, actually, while we were recording the previous episode, because I'm traveling soon, so we have to record two episodes in one day, he got to watch us recording the previous episode. We're running a bit late, also my fault. But you said there were moments where you wanted to chime in. I don't know if you still remember those moments.
Yo,
when we were talking about single parenting.
Yeah, it was something to do with Gen Z entitlement. Just because, I don't know, just generally I disagree with us framing like an entire generation as being entitled.
But I mean, it's just, you know, yeah. Like what's the word?
It's a conversation starter.
No, it's more like a thing of like, okay, we can't have every Gen Z in the world come here and speak for themselves. Mm-hmm. It's like a general kind of thing that people are saying mm-hmm. and we're trying to see if it's true or not. And I think I then said, I don't think Gen Z is entitled. I just think they've been given permission to express their entitlement that a child should feel from their parent for certain situations, you know, like affection, personal mm-hmm. attention, like things that children deserve and need that in our generation, and I don't know about you because you're kind of like at the cusp, yeah? Mm-hmm. It's like for my generation is, you know, there were moments where you could express how you felt, but, you know, being shut down was also something you had to accept, or there was no word called trauma or gaslighting. Mm-hmm. Like we didn't have words to express how our parents disrespected our expectations mm-hmm. or our hopes or even their promises to us, you know?
Yeah, no, and that actually, you know, you've gone and changed my mind completely already. Maybe I should have listened better.
Oh, sorry. I mean, I didn't elaborate that far.
No, but yeah, but that's you. I mean, you've said that really well. So in many ways, it's less about like Gen Z being entitled and more about them just understanding what to expect from a
present. And being able to communicate it and having the information to do that. Tando, you wanted to say something?
I wanted to say that, like, that's also why I wouldn't say anything personally, because that could also still be the case for a lot of people out there. We're just basing
exactly,
it.
Exactly, that's true.
We're just basing it off of, like, the Gen Zs that we're aware of, or, like,
the general stereotype.
The culture, the Gen Z culture that we're aware of, I guess. Yeah.
But a generalization that I am willing to make about Gen Z is I think there is a growing entitlement to women's bodies among Gen Z men and boys.
More than the previous generation. How could that even be possible?
No. So I mean,
so they're regressing.
Yeah, and there's like even studies to show it. There was a study done on men in the US, and it found that Gen Z men in the US are more likely to think that feminism is a danger to society than boomer men are.
But that's all Andrew Tate related.
No, absolutely. No.
Well, yeah. Not all.
I don't really listen to everything Joe Rogan, but I feel like he's
it's more of like a general thing amongst Gen Z men. Well, I won't say all of them. I'm going to say
generalizing. Yeah, that's the word.
I don't think we should generalize them. I'm just saying the statistics are showing the fact that like that's what's happening within I'm going to say the male gender. They feel more entitled to women's bodies because, oh, they still make a lot of like old school jokes like, oh, women need to be in the kitchen, women need to do this, women need to do that. I'm not even joking. It's like a genuine thing. And I feel
that's
like
so confusing.
They're starting to genuinely believe that type of thing, like on a very genuine level. They're starting to believe that, oh, if a girl can't do this and this, I don't want anything
to do
with
her. So if a girl can't be my mom.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
And if she can't be my mom, then she's a hoe, and I get
to
treat
her
as such.
And your dad and pay all your bills, then you're a gold digger.
No,
but like expect her to be my mom, but then also will pester her for nude images, and then I'll turn around and call her a whore when she sends me the nude images that I've pestered and begged her for.
Like it's a.
Are you guys doing all of this? Yeah. But I feel like for me, that's where the empowerment of a woman's self-esteem is so important, to know your value, to know your worth, and to know what you're willing to do, what you're not willing to do. Like, this is so disturbing for me to hear, because I thought there was progress. I don't have a son. I interact with males that, like, in the Gen Z world, that maybe I'll meet in my industry, or at most Tando's friends, you know, who are obviously then, I guess, like, think alike to her. But I think that is so interesting, because maybe male entitlement is a genetic thing at this point. Like, for me, like, wait.
I wasn't going to respond to you.
Oh. Well, I feel like, you know, certain things like are genuinely genetically passed on, but also habits and what you see your parents do, or what you see people, or it's a question of only men whose self-esteem is rock bottom are going to then decide that someone is lower than them so that they can feel mightier. But
there's also a thing of the fact that I feel like that this new generation, or this new era between like the past like 5 years, women have been like completely empowered. And back then, like boomers, like men were the ones who were always up, which is why maybe they felt that their egos were fulfilled and they didn't need to come and feel entitled to women's bodies. But now that women are more uplifted, in my opinion, men feel like their self-esteem is going lower. So they feel as though they need to take that power away from women to be able to for their ego to be boosted.
Basically, the last 5,000 years, or however many thousands of years of men of a patriarchal system being on top.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So I'm seeing here like titles like capacity to contract. And I'm finding it interesting that minors under the age of 7 years have no contractual capacity at all. And then mine is aged. I mean, I'm also just, you know... okay, oh, this is interesting. Valid legal acts can, however, be performed on their behalf by their guardians or parents. True. Minors aged between 7 and 18 have limited contractual capacity and cannot enter into a contract without consent or assistance of a legal guardian or parent. Remember, da-da-da-da-da. Oh, you know what I thought this was going to say? I was really, really stressed that this was going to say, like, something along the lines of, like, a 7-year-old could commit a crime. And
their mom goes to jail. No, that does happen.
Well, yeah, so their parents might be held, like, liable in some way, but I don't think the parents will be sent to jail, but, like, a 7-year-old can be sued in their own name. From under 7, you've not really got any recourse against the kid.
How do you sue a 7-year-old?
There's no cases of me that I know of where it's happened, but I definitely know, like, that a 14-year-old boy has been sued for making a very badly photoshopped nude image of his headmaster.
I know what you're talking about.
You know
about.
Exactly the case. Emma and I use it in all the talks as well. But there was this boy at Waterkloof High that woke up one Sunday after having watched South Park. And in this episode, they photoshopped a teacher's head onto a gay bodybuilder. So that he was like, this is hilarious. I'm going to do the same thing. Went to a website like he should not have been on and found a photo of two guys, like the one leg over the other, both of them holding their genitals. I'm not going to mime too much.
Do you have the... she showed us the photo.
Yeah, I've got the... I can find the slides.
Can you show her?
Thank you. No,
I'm it's really not as bad as you think, but it's pretty bad.
So he put the headmasters and the vice headmasters' faces on these people. And then put the school logo over the genitals. So you can't, you can't see anything.
Not exposed.
You just see but it's implied that they're naked
people. How do they catch him?
He sent it to his friend, who then kept sending it to people, and then they just followed the trail back up to him. And then, he sent this to one friend, and then went to church and saw this friend again at church, and they were looking at it, and he saw his friend send it on to another person. And his friend, and he was like, you know, don't do this. And his friend said, no, it'll be fine. You know, I trust that person. They'll find it funny, whatever. And then next day they got to school and everyone had seen the photo. And a grade 9 boy had taken the photo and printed it and put it on the student notice board. Trust a grade 9 to do that.
Trust.
Yeah. And they were all three pulled into a disciplinary hearing. The headmaster said, you know, grade 11 boys, you're not becoming prefects next year. You grade 9 boy, all three of you are going to be on Saturday detentions for the rest of the year. And then the headmaster was like, cool, boys will be boys. I hope you've learned your lesson.
I don't like that saying. That boys will be boys saying is
no,
so sexist.
Neither.
It's disgusting.
Well, good thing the vice headmaster said boys will not be boys. And he went and he opened a criminal case against them for crimen in urea, the criminal injury to dignity. So they were fined a few thousand rand. They have a criminal record and they had to do like 300 hours of community service. And then on top of that, he went and he sued them for defamation. Now, this is like a bad Photoshop job. You can see the pixels
like
on
the
face.
Like, it's not good. It's not a deep fake.
Yeah. It's very obviously...
It's very South Park.
Yeah. Very South Park. And the judge still said this is defamation. Even though we know this isn't you, this was enough to harm your reputation to say that
you... Because
you're
a joke now to the education community. Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So they were fined like 50,000 rand, I think, for that. And had to pay all of the costs of their headmaster's lawyers.
Parents had to pay all of the costs.
Yeah, parents had to. And this went all the way to the Constitutional Court. So this could have easily become R1 million in lawyers' fees that the parents had to front because of this one silly post that this boy made.
See, Mom, I'm a...
Which he sent to one friend that then everyone found out about. And that's like the biggest danger with stuff that happens digitally. It's not like a joke that you make at a dinner party or when you're hanging with your friends at the mall that then gets forgotten or whatever. You know, this is forever, as Gaten McKenzie has now learned. Like, tweets from, when was that, 15 years ago?
Mm.
Yeah, that was 2010, 2011, that have now been scraped up. And that's one of the big dangers with the digital world is it's a forever record of everything you've done.
I keep warning her. Mm. But, you know, I'm not always being heard.
And I think in like 60 years' time, we're going to start... I'm going to get cancelled for something that wasn't even offensive right now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, like, maybe...
Bro's calling it, guys. He's calling it right now.
There should
clankers,
be a
come for me in 50 years.
That is like, yo, man, if cultural kind of like social norms have changed by then, like, there needs to be some sort of like, guys, everybody chill. Like, this, everybody can evolve and change. Because like we've been discussing, like 60 years ago, a woman's place was in the kitchen and was at church or was
Could
or whatever.
Have a bank account.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and that was the norm. So are we going to go cancel our grandparents? Like, you know what I'm saying? It's just, it is what it is. All right, cool. Thank you so much. Let me put this here so that I also remember to just remind you, so that you can also sign it for
us. Is there like a digital law that you don't agree with?
Yes. So the blanket criminality of the creation of child pornography. So to give you an example of this is kids will take and send nudes. If you give a pubescent kid a smartphone, I think it's almost guaranteed they're going to end up taking a nude at some point. It's just kids, you know, are curious. It is a part of the world we live in now. So it's something they're going to take part in.
Is it like when we were young, you'd like just look in the mirror at yourself and your body change? And it's just that we couldn't take a picture back then.
Yeah, pretty much. And like you had those scandalous things that you did at 16, 17, 18 that you and your friends all egged each other on to do. Not you,
not
definitely.
Me,
never
no.
Pearl. No.
No, but, genuinely, I was a little Bible basher, 16-year-old. It was perfect for me.
Unfortunately, not every child is a Bible basher.
And, not that was good either.
It's just a part of the dating landscape now that people send nudes and kids will want to transition into that dating landscape and do that. But what our law says now is that if a girl sends a nude to her boyfriend and he spreads it around, he's guilty of disseminating child pornography if she's under 18. She's guilty of creating. So it's difficult to go get recourse against him because then the police say, oh no, we have to arrest her too because she also committed a crime in creating this when she is the victim in that situation.
So he can also sue her for creating and sending him child pornography for having it on his phone.
And then, like, it gets even wilder.
I guess it's important for the accountability to be equal, but kind of like, but I didn't.
I feel like there's also a pressure point to it because of the fact that like teenage girls are pressured into it like hardcore. Like, not me personally.
Can that then also be investigated?
That can be a part of it, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it can be investigated. But at the end of the day, there's actually very few cases where the boy will have like held a gun to this girl's head. It's often a lot more nuanced than this. He's dealing with someone who has like a big crush on him and he knows then he can manipulate that and send that, you know, if you love me, send me these nudes. Oh, you don't like me? Well, I guess I can just go then date a girl who will send me nudes. And, you know, for us sitting with fully developed prefrontal cortices, we know, oh, you obviously stop talking to that person. But to a 14, 15, 16-year-old who's new to life, who's learning about relationships for the first time, a lot of them won't understand that this isn't how a partner is supposed to treat you. And they will end up sending those things. So we can't always rely on that, they were coerced, they were manipulated. Yeah.
And there's also, like, I think there's grooming involved in that. There's, like, a lot of grooming. That's why, like, there's a lot of dangerous apps now because of the fact that, like, grown adults will go on to, like, apps meant for children. And because obviously children are oblivious to like all of the stuff that's going on now, they'll be like, oh, just do this. And then I'll send you money, or I'll do this for you. And obviously, because children value adults' opinions and adults' like validation, they're going to do it. I feel like that's also what's going on with the whole Roblox thing. Roblox, you need to figure out what's going on with you.
No, Roblox has got, I think, I want to say like 4 active lawsuits open against them right now. One by the state of Louisiana, like some by individuals. And it's all basically saying that like Roblox knows that there are child predators on their platforms and they don't do anything about it.
Do you know what they did, mama?
Mm-mm. Oh my God, they banned.
They banned. So basically there was this guy who had like a YouTube channel, I think, that was dedicated to finding these predators and getting them off the app. And once Roblox found out about him, they banned him from the app.
Mm. So, you know, like To Catch a Predator, the TV show, he did that, but with like groomers on Roblox, and he'd organize real life meetups and then expose them. But yeah, Roblox found out, banned him, and claimed that like, oh, he's no better than the groomers, basically, because he's also pretending to be a child. He's doing this.
Yeah.
This is going to be my face the whole show. Like, what?
But it's like, but this is like cases where there's, you know, adults posing as kids. But like you brought out, sometimes like we had a matter where this is like some of the worst stuff I've ever seen, and there weren't any child news, but it was a 12-year-old girl who was in a relationship with like a 26-year-old guy, a relationship. That's like, she can't consent to that. But
and I know there's they're organizing themselves as like, this is who we are. We are born this way. Almost as if like,
oh yeah, they're trying to make it like they're trying to be a part of like, you know, they tried
like people
to like,
who are just people who are attracted to children.
Oh gosh,
type of thing.
And they're trying to be a part of the community. That's also what's getting me riled up.
That's nothing new. That's there's been like a small,
you mean,
like,
we need to be specific about, there's lots of communities.
There's been a small group of people like who try to claim basically that attraction to children is a valid sexual orientation and should be like put under the LGBT umbrella. Basically. Which is
I feel, you know what, there's nothing to respect about anything in the situation, but in terms of the mechanics of the situation, but on a human level, there are people who are, you know, there's, everybody has their weakness, right? Mm. And I'm willing to accept that. A dysfunction, some sort of thing that I've decided Mother Nature has made dysfunctional about you. So either you don't reproduce or whatever, like just to make us weirder so that there's less of us on this planet. I don't know. But the point I'm making is for someone to come out and say, yo, I've got this and it's a problem and I need help. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that part.
But if we make it impossible for people to speak, you know, it, then for me, it's like, can we then, how do you help someone like that? Mm-hmm. Is it therapy? Like, has that been investigated at all? Do you know?
Yeah, not much to my knowledge. I mean, I do know about it. I know about what they basically call, I can't even remember the name they give themselves, but they are a group of people, like you say. Pardon? Maps.
Oh yeah,
minor attracted persons.
And okay.
Like, there's many different kinds of them, but there is a group of them that do say, "Hey, I acknowledge this. I acknowledge that I should not do this, but I also need to acknowledge that it's a part of me and seek help out for it." So there are some people that do.
I respect that.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Because like,
as long as they don't act on it, as
if the person is convinced that they can't control it, like it can't be. And guys, I might definitely be wrong, and I'm not justifying this. Okay, I'm not justifying this at all. I don't think it's okay. I don't think it's cool. I don't think it's okay at all. But there's a lot of us who say, I've got this problem. Oh, I have this. Oh, I have this. And it's taken years for those things to either be normalized, accepted, treated, whatever it is. Like, depression used to be a taboo topic, like less than, 30 years ago, you know?
Yeah.
So I find that so interesting, because those people, like, if they could just come and get it, if there was a way to just make it go away. Mm. But does that mean they can never be in a normal, you know, relationship? I mean, right now, as we speak on this continent, like, and I think in India and probably all over the world, there are like children who are sent to arranged marriages by their parents. Yeah. So like, what is normal? It depends where you are.
It
depends
in some
who
US
you're
states.
Talking to. That is,
you can marry like an under 16.
As long as
US
you
states.
Have parental consent.
Yeah. As long as the parents consent, then they can get married. This is not just an Africa thing, yeah.
It's like a Mormon thing also.
Yeah, I think it...
Not Mormons, no.
What is
no.
it? Like that guy who had a documentary, like there was a whole documentary about him where they were like literally marrying children.
Mm, that was actually... That Mormons is one of them. That was... What's his face?
Mormons? But don't they have to go on
one
their,
of them
like,
was like a high priest. Even.
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to remember his
name
now.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Who had like... And if you watch the graph of like the wives
they're
he
like
had
20
as, he,
wives.
As he aged up. Yeah, no.
Like they
and
kind
he
of
would
got
marry
younger.
Like their sisters and their mothers and... Like of his
and they
wives,
worshipped
but it was
them.
A
it was
type
a cult.
Of cult, yeah.
Yeah, it was a cult.
But yeah, it's not just Mormons is one of them, but there's lots of I think Christian, very religious Christian sects that do allow it.
All right, cool.
Across the states.
All right, well, not cool, but all right, yeah.
But also, wouldn't like that's also a part of like what child trafficking?
Not cool, like wait for me to also no, say excuse me or something. I know, but I was like, it's you know, like, and I have to be a parent.
I know you're
also.
About to change the topic.
Yeah, but say, Mom, just 1 second. I just want to ask something, you know, something like that. Okay. Not just talk over me. Mm. But what would you like to say? No, speak, baby. Sorry.
But no, I was going to talk about like child trafficking. That's also like they're feeding into this like what's it, this attraction. Like the child traffickers and stuff like that. No, in all of those different countries that have, well, I think maybe all countries have that. No,
yeah,
that's also a very deep thing. But moving on to trafficking, no, yes.
Can I go?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So something that recently was quite interesting that happened in South Africa. To be very honest with you, and I've been on the whole year like basically like a social media detox. Right.
Then can I speak
excuse
about
me.
It?
I wish I was you.
Just give me 1 second.
Okay.
So I just bumped into this video of Cyan Bougie apologizing about some, it was even a different name. It wasn't actually her name there unless she's changed her name on social media and I didn't notice that she was apologizing, but she was like, I didn't do it for the money because I hadn't been paid, but I'm still going to get paid. But they said I was going to get paid. So that was confusing. But then she went on and on. It's like, for me, as I heard the story about what the Russia Start program that was apparently just meant for women.
Yeah, women 18 to 22.
It's a recruitment program.
Yeah, a recruitment program for studies, right? Mm-hmm. And I thought that was, for me, it's like when that is said in South Africa, it's like, oh, women empowerment, you know? So I didn't really hear anything wrong with that. And that's a blind spot, obviously, on my part. And then... So then they got social media influencers to speak on or to publicize this Russia Start program. And then it was like the social media influencers are being blamed for publicizing this, for not researching it. But most of them, if not all of them, have management, you know? So I always find it so unfair, like when all the blame is placed in one direction, you would swear at some point because people can't catch the Russian Start people themselves, that the social media influencer themselves might as well have started the whole syndicate. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But then also there's the part of the fact that like they said that like their passports were being revoked, that they had like all of their conversations with people back home were being monitored. So if all of that's happening, wouldn't you think that something's like something odd's going around?
No, but they were just publicizing the program.
No,
home.
I'm saying when they would. No, they were flown into Russia.
Mm. Wait, are you trying to tell me Cyan Bougie flew to Russia?
Yeah, Cyan Bougie flew to Russia.
They fly all these influencers to Russia. That's what I said.
Cyan Bougie, Siam Tanda, who the other ones?
Are you telling me they actually stole the influencers themselves?
No, they didn't steal them. They flew them there to film and then flew them back. Which is like one of the big...
Ah, you've stolen me if you take my passport. Because no, now I have no choice.
That's why I'm saying that they should have realized something was wrong because they're getting their... Well, allegedly, they're getting their passports taken away
but it
from
wasn't,
them.
So it wasn't the influencers that had their passports taken away. It was the people who signed up to the program.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
okay.
Once they went there to work, like the standard... On a lot of these schemes, they take your passport away and then start saying, oh, well, now we've incurred all these debts to get you here. We're going to start taking that from your salary until you've paid it back.
Which wasn't, and there was no contract, nothing before you.
Yeah,
left.
So I think this came from the Associated Press article, which is like, that's the one question that's raised for me. The like, because I don't know when they posted these. I only found out about this 2 days ago when
I saw it earlier this year. I saw one video earlier this year.
One video about this, because this Associated Press article exposing how dodgy this, you know, company allegedly is was made in July of last year. So even a quick Google of this company would turn that up.
And
so
they all have management and they themselves are also held accountable. As much as their managers are held accountable, they themselves should also be held accountable.
The managers are never held accountable because you don't know their names.
Okay, I know. I was also saying they should also be held accountable because you can also Google every country, every company that you're getting all of these thingies from. like, if I were not to Google any of the companies that are offering me money, that's kind of like that. That's not fair, because now I'm advertising something that I don't believe in, which I don't do at all personally.
Same.
So that's also something odd. I think, like, if you're going to advertise something, whether there's a lot of money or there isn't, that's your fan base. They trust in you to give them stuff that works for you,
and they rely on you for truthful information.
So it's not. So now also you're not being truthful to the people who are helping you stay alive, basically, because they're helping you put food on the table. So, and I have an inside source who told me how much they got paid.
How inside is the source?
Oh no, they're one of the influencers.
How do you get to speak to them? How do you know them?
No, because I've met them at like influencing thingies that I've had
She's
to go
Pearl
to.
She's Pearl Tusi's daughter, and she knows people.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I'm shy.
Is this safe for us to do? At least we have someone in law here.
So long as
we're not naming anyone.
No, call us out as soon as we do something that's going to fry
us. No, we spoke about it before. I just don't have to. I'm not going to say that person's name. Okay. I even promised them that I'm not going to say it.
No.
50,000 rand.
That is all?
That's what I said.
And they flew to Russia for 50,000 rand.
That's what I said. Remember, I said that. They flew to Russia for visiting, but at the same time you're dealing.
You're like, I'm taking pictures in Russia.
Like, the thing is, like, my brother's a copywriter, and like I wanted to send a demand to someone else for using someone's image in marketing without their consent, and even then, like, for big name influencers with big following, they only really pay like 25k. And this is for a posting, and this is from to like alcohol has money. Ooh, I probably can't name that.
Flex, can you please beep that thing?
Yeah, it's not my contract to breach there. But this was from a brand that has a lot of money to throw around.
Thank God I have my manager.
But like, even for me, I know you said like women empowerment. When I saw, come work overseas, we only want women 18 to 22.
That's so suspicious.
Went off my brain was alarm bells. I was like, why? And also in like Cyan's video, there were two lines that stood out to me. One of them was like, the work conditions are acceptable and you will be treated fairly. Like, if you have to put that in your marketing, that specific, like, the work conditions are acceptable.
Are you working or studying?
So they were... They're so, like, some of the advertising, I think, said you will study, but some said you will train up to work in hospitality. Others said you'll train up to work in.
Isn't it training to be like a worldwide type of like a big influencer or something?
No. It was like hospitality training, basically.
Really?
Like, yeah, come and learn how to work in a restaurant.
So people gone missing? Have people vanished?
So no South Africans that I've heard of have gone missing, but I do know that apparently, like, there have been allegations that they were then all made to build drones that are being used in the war against Ukraine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And that they were working long hours.
In like slave-like conditions.
Yeah.
That was in the article.
They were dealing with like dangerous chemicals without protective equipment. That they had their passports taken away. That when they were contacting with people like from the outside, they would have to do it under being monitored.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the Russia start.
Mm-hmm. It was the Alabuga start program. No, that's what it's called.
Yeah. Okay, carry on, Karen.
No, I was just letting you know that's actually what it's called, not the Russia recruit program. Like, that's the original name for it, the Alabuga recruit start program.
Oh, is that the original name?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Why didn't you tell us?
Well, because I didn't remember it until now. The Alabuga, like, as you said, that reminds me.
Well, publicly,
like, there are special economic zones as well.
That's the name right now.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. That is insane. And so are people still signing up for this? Is it legal what they're doing? Can we get the girls back? Are we going to have to fight for girls again in 2025?
I mean, I don't actually know how legal what the influencers are doing is, because...
Forget the influencers, the program.
The program, absolutely not. I mean, it's false advertising under the CPA, under the advertising code as well. But the problem is that they're not a member of the advertising regulating body, so there's no recourse for them under that. It can be human trafficking, but the problem is how do you hold a Russian company accountable within South Africa? And it's especially now, like, I know you said forget the influencers, but this is now an entirely new form of marketing and advertising that our frameworks don't know how to properly account for. Especially our Consumer Protection Act speaks about the supplier, but many suppliers, and they'll be the ones ultimately responsible for.
But who's going to save the girls? That's what I'm...
Apparently, our foreign ministry is working on getting them back. I mean, we managed to get girls back from Myanmar, I believe, earlier in the year. So I think it should happen. But right now, I don't think we have any confirmed South Africans who have gone across as a result of it, at least so far as I've seen. But yeah, it's just... a big outcry about the influencers now.
So the influencers left South Africa, flew to Russia.
Yeah.
To what exactly did they show?
To film the facilities.
Yeah. So they like walked around, be like, these are the rooms you'll be sleeping in. They have sports facilities. This is the grounds. This is where you'll be working. All those kinds of things. So like Cyan's TikTok reel.
Poor Cyan now suffering for these people also. No, like,
she's not the only one who did it. That's why I kind of feel bad for her.
Because there was another one, Siam Tando, who posted a TikTok about them. And then her follower said, hey, this is giving scam. So she took that down and apparently wrote to them to ask questions like, why are you only pulling girls 18 to 22? You know, what do you make them do once they're there? All those sorts of things. And they offered to fly her over there. And she did a whole like 10-minute long TikTok explaining, you know, her apology video, but explaining the questions that she asked them when she was there and her own investigations. But then she still, so far as I'm aware, continue to market.
And Sima too. Sima, we don't forget. Yo, let me actually not be mean, but we won't forget about you, Shadi. It was Sima, Cyan.
Let's not.
I'm not going to say all of them. I'm going to say the ones that we've said here.
Yeah, but those are all already named. In like
I feel like for me, like, and I'm not here. Like the influencers are also definitely in the wrong, right? But first of all, like the economy right now. Second of all, influencers, there's no university for influencing. No. You understand what I'm saying? There's no contractual... Am I lying? No, speak.
Personally, I think you can always educate yourself on social media.
100%. Mm. But you don't know what you don't know. But, you know what I mean? Like, unless you get mentor, you don't know what you don't know, right? In your mind, so just maybe stay in your lane in future. Like, don't try and be recruiting people to leave their lives and go all over to another country. Yes?
No, sorry. I just wanted to say the fact that I wanted to let you finish, but it's fine. About the fact that they also, all of these influencers are like really young. Like, in your words, they're like kids. So technically, I feel like they really also couldn't have known better. Well, they could have, definitely, but at the same time, because they're so young, and like 50,000 rand is a lot of money to someone who's earning it themselves. I feel
I don't even know Cyan's age. I don't know any of their ages, but I mean, you know, I speak also from experience in terms of Tando. I only realized the other day, but like I had an encounter with the Facebook rapist. Now we all know him by his name, which I'm not even interested in saying. And I even sat down to be interviewed for the documentary. You know what's so crazy? Years ago, like as in like a decade ago, when I think, what was that? Heat magazine was still a thing at the time. They heard me talk about it because it was like the week after like the information broke out. So I was kind of like traumatized because this person now had killed people and I literally had an encounter like where he attacked me, right? Using social media. This is now like Tando must have been like maybe 5 years old. I don't even remember, right? How long ago it was. Like my memory, the way it's set up is like I just like it's gone. Yeah, right.
Who went? Me.
So, you know, Facebook was used in that case. And I was young. I was desperate. I thought I knew better because I have already been modeling for years. You know, Facebook is new, so this must be the new way of doing things. I'm a desperate young mother, you know, desperately desperate young mother trying to sort my life out so that I can feed my child. And if someone it's funny because at that age... For like 13 years ago, the money was at least better than what you just mentioned, like way better. You know what I mean? Yeah. So at the way it was put forward. And all I needed to do was come in for a meeting. But this was like I didn't have to leave the country. I heard that there's another celebrity whose name I shouldn't mention, who nearly left the country. And the mother was like, something about this is fishy, whatever. And the mother didn't let her go. And then later on, there was another girl she knew who ended up going and no one knew what that girl was. Right. So I just feel like it's so easy to judge. It is so easy to, you know, place blame on people who you think will be fine anyway, or people you think are irresponsible or not smart or could educate themselves. Like, if they were so interested in educating themselves, maybe they would have had a degree by now. Do you know what I'm saying? But they don't. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, if that was... so, also, people need to decide who they are listening to as well. You know what I mean? Who is it that you choose to trust? And not that that means that you should be irresponsible with the information you put out there. But I'm going to speak from a thing of, like, I relate to being stupid. You know what I mean? At the time, because of desperation or because of not knowing any better, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know, like, all of that I definitely agree with. But at the same time, I think it's a problem that's going to happen if you are like a 19, 20-year-old who's got a million followers. You do need to have that extra level of responsibility, that extra level of care when your messaging is being sent to that many people. It's you know, it's the same level that we apply on celebrities, on politicians, people who hold sway in society and have the ability to direct people. And like, definitely we do have a responsibility to be discerning. But I think when people have the ability to sway people like that, especially when they're unelected, there should be some level of responsibility. And again, like, I'm not an influencer myself. I don't have to think about these things. But I feel like if I was and I got asked to advertise an overseas job opportunity, I would be quite discerning about that and not just, you know, take the money because it's a lot. And like, again, I can understand why people would do that. It happens so many times, not just in jobs, but also in dating. Many people will see dating as their way to become secure in life, and then will be a lot less discerning of who then they're willing to go and meet and go on a date with. Mm. There is so many ways for us to come across.
To fall into traps.
Exactly.
And I think those traps are specifically set, like, this company. And I guess because I'm in the limelight as well. Mm-hmm. So, like, I hate when people in the limelight pay the price of the crime that they didn't actually commit because mm-hmm. they were part of it in an ignorant way. Mm-hmm. Yes, ignorance should have a price tag to it as well. Yes, mm-hmm. you should, especially if you refuse to be accountable, right?
Yeah.
But why should someone be crucified as if they, you know what I'm saying? As if they set up the whole organization themselves. Like, let's not forget who the real enemy is while we enjoy cancel culture. Because I feel like cancel culture is, you know, I was reminded of this quote yesterday that says, you know, great minds think alike. Mm-hmm. And that quote is never finished. And I didn't mm-hmm. know. But simple minds
differ.
Yeah, but fools really do. But I think it's but simple minds seldom differ.
Ah, there we go.
Right? So that one, I guess, has a bit more of the... The English, what is it, alliteration or?
Sibilance is the S sound.
You know what it is.
Oh, but we're getting off topic.
Exactly. But, you know, so when people get excited about fighting something mm-hmm. that they don't discern on who to fight. You understand what I'm saying?
Definitely.
Yes, we need to fight and get influencers to take it seriously, that they need to be educated about what they are doing and what they are publicizing and putting out there. But let's not forget who the real enemy is. I think that, for me, is always my personal cry. Anyway, do you have anything else to kind of say around that topic? And where is that whole subject right now?
Well, I think, like, what you brought up about cancel culture and, like, a lot of ire being directed towards these influencers right now. And I think it's a symptom of the fact that our digital world is making it a lot harder to hold people accountable, and that people aren't getting justice, especially when they become the victim of an online harm from another individual, to the level of people just losing accounts entirely because Meta had a report out against them. There are so many ways that we're losing accountability in the digital world that I do think we start then trying to scream and shout and throw the influencer then under the bus, when that, like, our framework doesn't even hold the influencer accountable. There was a case with African Bank where they were trying to advertise festive season loans.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the influencers who'd been paid to advertise this said, oh, it's not a debt, it's an investment, that's a lie. It's a loan. That is not an investment. That is a debt. Oh, and it wasn't the influencer who was fined. It was African Bank who was fined for that then. So even though it was the influencer who made the mistake, who misspoken. The
So Africa Bank suffered because of trusting a silly influencer. Yeah, unfortunate.
Yeah, the Financial Conduct Authority said that, well, you guys should have vetted that better. You should have either had a strict script or
That's why advertisers have become a little bit more annoying than in the past, like with approvals. Oh, okay, fine, guys, I get it, I get it. I'm sorry.
Yeah, all the approval. Oh my gosh, and they take so long.
Because they're busy running
banks.
By
the time it's posted, it's no longer relevant or trendy.
Okay, so I don't know if there's anything else to discuss around the... What was the original name again?
Alabuga. I always make up a new one every time
Alabuga.
I go to Google it.
So they're literally trafficking humans. So there's no sexual stuff. It's just like slavery in terms of like...
Modern slavery. So far as...
Well, not modern slavery.
But there was also a question raised on why don't they use their own citizens? Like to build the drones for the war that they have ongoing with Ukraine.
It's likely because like citizens will then have ties to the country. It'll be a lot easier for them to get recourse if they're put in these conditions. Whereas if you take someone away from their home, away from everything they know, a 19-year-old girl who's now getting shot at by like old Russian men, she hasn't got her phone, she hasn't got her passport. It's a lot easier to exploit
them. So is it like I guess China might be different, and I don't know enough to speak on this at all. But, you know, when they talk about, like, Chinese sweatshops with, like, kids in them, is it, like, a similar thing but just with grown women?
Yeah, yeah.
Or at least adult
and, like,
women?
It's the allegations were made that the same thing was done to build the stadiums for the 2020 World Cup, was it?
Oh, yeah.
People were being pulled from poorer nations with the promise of better work to come build the stadiums, and once they got there, passports were taken away.
And they were forced into those conditions.
Okay, I have I wanted to talk about AI, but like just a brief understanding. Like I told you about the TED Talk that recently watched. I forgot the name of the lady, but like I
don't remember watching.
There was a TED Talk about a lady who spoke about how AI, you know, where it farms information, it does not pay for it, and then people are paying for the AI, sometimes paying for the AI apps. But the people whose information is being used so that those apps survive, there's not enough law at the moment to help make sure that is a safe space for people's information that is being farmed, whoever owns that information, and it's so hard for them to get recourse as well. So that's one thing. And then I think the other thing, can him finish? And I think the other thing is then related. So whatever sways our board right now, because we're running out of time. I bumped into a video on Instagram where, you know, the 10 minutes I spend every other day now on Instagram, where Mark Zuckerberg was being held accountable by American Congress, probably just because they want more money from out of him. But the parents of the children who had been exposed to nude images images containing nudity on Facebook or Instagram, they wanted recourse because it's like, oh, the platform is sold as a platform that is safe for children from the ages of 13. And I saw in the comments a lot of, and he was hardly being given a chance to speak unless he was saying what the congressman wanted. But while this was happening, it was like, oh, the parents are actually in that room, and he stood up and turned around and the cameras just like came in, because I think they were expecting him to now apologize to the parents of those children because he was asked, have you apologized? So I think my first question is going to be, who's actually responsible? Because I'm really, really passionate, and Tando knows, because we had a difficult time in her more prime teenage years with social media control, or at least control over the phone, right? Is whose fault, quote unquote, whose fault is that? Because first of all, Facebook or whomever is, you know, at fault, I guess, if you want to say market, whatever, is the social media platform is at fault because they have advertised the product as safe for children age from what to what. But as an adult, you also know that like you can't trust anything and everything you hear when it comes to social media. As adults, people are trying to scam us on our phones every day as well. Yeah. You know, there's telemarketers, we don't know where they got our number, but here they are.
Apparently
calling
I'm
us.
3 months behind on my Netflix payment, and I have 4 parcels at the border too, so I should get on that.
Oh, exactly.
I think ours are mixed up together.
Oh, exactly. Happens, so for you, as someone who works as legally around these matters, for you, whose case would you take? The parents' case or Mark Zuckerberg's
case? I'd absolutely take the parents' case. We've got so much evidence now that, like, not just Meta, but basically every major tech company does not care about us and is building their tools and products to maximize profits at our
expense.
At our expense, exactly. I mean, when it comes to just children being on Meta, they first, like, it's largely targeted towards them. Under 25s have a lot more time to give to social media. They've got a lot more of a native fluency with the tools. So they're now the biggest market to be targeted. They're the most likely to be susceptible to advertising. So the under 25s are identified by all of these companies as people who they have to target to get onto their platforms. And in order to do that, they then start doing all those things that harm us. They create these interest-based algorithms to try and optimize for the time you spend on that platform. And that means they're optimizing for things that cause big reactions, especially in young kids. They'll be showing them harmful material. They'll show them nudity. They'll show them, I mean, this AI stuff that now, I recommend it. Go and create an Instagram account and say you're 13 years old and start by following Taylor Swift and cat videos and see what stuff gets pushed to you through the algorithm. These weird, you're too old to see these now, but like parents of 11-year-olds will see these like weird AI cat videos where there's like a cat baby being abused by a parent and beat by them. And then
it's so odd.
Exactly.
It's so, and then there's like the baby ones of celebrities, but like they're imagined as like baby AIs. Mm-hmm. And then there's like the story times where they use these cats in like really weird situations. Cat, yeah.
And like ones with like babies on termite mounds with the termites like crawling into their mouths. Ugh.
Or like those AI videos, they scare me. I don't like stuff like this. Or like the AI videos were like, I remember someone's hand was getting stuck in the window and then like it just all burst into like cake or like insects or something. I was like not ready for that personally.
So yeah,
that's so crazy.
I personally hold the companies accountable because they're building these way. I mean, there's leaked reports that Facebook would brag in their marketing meetings, you know, with prospective clients saying, oh yeah, we can target a teenage girl after she's deleted a selfie because we know that she's then more likely to buy beauty products.
Oh, yeah, because she's more self-conscious about herself.
Who found that information?
This comes from... So the person I got this claim from was Sarah Wynne Williams, who wrote the book Careless People. And she worked at Meta, well, it was back then Facebook, in their international policy department. And the book basically tracks... It's her memoir of her time at Facebook and, A, how much the company ruined her and her personal life. But then also all of the policies that they were implementing as Facebook gained more and more power around the world. I mean, during the US elections, they installed an advisor in Trump's committee in 2016 to teach them how to most effectively use the advertising on their platform to then send anti-vaccination messaging to like mothers of newborns.
Are you okay?
Because you know, as a mother of a newborn, you're worried about your child's health. You're doing so much research around those things. You're far more likely to then become susceptible to health what's the word I'm looking for? Misinformation. When you're already now in that field where you're looking for new and better information for the benefit of your child. And like, I'm upset with how much responsibility we give to parents. Like, oh, why'd you let your child do that? Why'd you let your child do better?
I'm also just trying to keep this person alive. Like, oh my God, guys, like, and I've got so much to do.
For like half of our country, both parents will be working jobs, maybe more than one job each. They then can't always be with their kids all the time. And that
then there'll be assholes who will be like, yeah, then why did you have children? Like, I didn't know that the economy was going to fry us like this. This is so... we need to find
Let's end this off on a positive note.
Can we speak about something fun?
Before we go there. So we've discussed that. So let's not just tell people about problems. Let's also share solutions before we move on, which has been the bright side.
Hey.
I trust an app called QStudio. QStodio. I think it's spelled. You can switch off the internet. You can put it on. You can get alerts on... And I'm not being paid for this particular plug, like it's just the one app. There's obviously the screen time, but screen time has a bit of,
you can get around it.
But this particular app, like, you're able to see your child's location, able to see your child's location at any time, or like it just keeps updating you if there's any changes in that. It gives you alerts on if they Google or search anything that's like potentially harmful or dangerous to them. You can literally block anything from the phone. Like, or at least it gave me that impression. How about you tell me? Because you had to experience it on the other side.
No, I need what to know this. How did you get around custodial?
Like, I'm not going to say anything. Why are you forcing me
but you hate
something?
It. Like, talk about your experience, like with the app, because you didn't like it. Like, she really didn't like it. And for me, that like told me it was working. But you can also, at this point, you don't have it anymore. You can also be honest about the scams that you could, because then I don't want to then be getting hate mail about plugging something that doesn't work.
Yeah. I didn't have any scams around it. I just like, when I was actually trying to do something useful with my time, it would just mess it up and it would get me like so mad. I don't even want to talk about it.
So basically, I think what's difficult for her to talk is like, you know, something intense happened. So then I had to, as a parent, take extreme measures, right? Because I, like most parents, I guess many parents out there, I didn't have the time to blame anyone else except myself, right? And so I looked at things that I could then improve. And it was a learning curve for both of us. So she hated it because even if she was trying to do something useful, we're both still learning how this app works. And it was difficult. And I had to explain to her, we're going to have to find a new normal, because before you had free reign and that didn't work out very well for us. So now I'm going to have to put barricades on certain situations on the phone. And it was a difficult time for both of us because we were both recovering from a traumatic experience. And we had to, this app was the one solution the school particularly actually gave me to try and circumvent any kind of like, to try and just create a security system around that to protect her from Abu Watwat, the Russian start company, or whatever, or Facebook, or whatever else is happening on social media that I felt like could have a negative impact on her, you know? And it was very, very, very difficult. And I guess all parents out there need to know that it's going to be difficult. So my advice is start early. And that's what I tell a lot of parents. Even if your child has just been born, I'll say, oh my God, download this app. Because as soon as you give them the iPad, they need to know that it can work without internet, because you don't have to always. There are some games that you can play offline, and when they have internet, it can be a reward-based system. I don't know if maybe I'm coming with a very old school approach to a new school thing.
No, the newer school of thought actually is to teach kids responsible use rather than to have them not use completely, which I agree with to an extent, because, I mean, this is the world we live in now. Kids need to learn how to use the tools responsibly before we let them out into the world. But at the other end of it is the internet is just so big and it's so dangerous. And I think all of the damage and danger is so high. I mean, people ask us what age should kids get social media, and I say 16, and so many people are shocked. But that's because we've made this normal where everyone has social media from age 9, 10, 11. I mean, I had my first Facebook at age 10. So where now it's like a shocking thing if you're able to keep a child off social media until that age. Whereas I think that's where the line should be drawn better. And like, yeah, tools like Bark and Custodio and Life 360 and all of those things are amazing. But maybe you didn't do it, but I'm sure your friends had so many ways to get around those applications.
Whoa. Don't release files now. You're doing a lot.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe your friends
sometimes
did.
Sometimes I felt like she was complaining just for me to switch it off so that she could do whatever she wanted. Like I said, parents, sometimes the hard road is the only way.
That's not the truth.
Well, I didn't say it was the truth. I said I felt. We're not also arguing here, and you're not going to challenge me here.
Not even.
If you're not going to have an open conversation, then chill out.
I wasn't even going to say.
Yeah, because we asked you a question about what your experience with it was, and you said you don't want to talk about it. Now you want to speak on it. So which one is it going to be?
On it.
Look at poor Rock looking uncomfortably on the other side of the couch. So either speak on your experience or don't. Like, pick a struggle.
I didn't say anything. I was just saying that. I was just letting you know that was not my.
Okay, cool. All right, then. So if there's, unless there's something you want to say about your custodial experience, but it gave me at least, even if it was a false, it gave me a sense of security, because it would give me feedback on what was at least happening. I could open some of the links that she was thinking. Sometimes I'd keep quiet. Sometimes I'd say something. But it did give me a sense of security. So you said Custodio
Bark.
Custodio. Wow. Okay. Custodio, Bark, Life 360.
Yeah, Life 360. Bark is the one that we really push the most. That has like the least ways for kids to get around it. Because again, kids are smart. For
so
most
Bark
parents,
is the one that you think is the
yeah,
one.
Yeah, Bark is one of them. But again, like everything, they're going to, like, assume they're going to find a way around it. Kids are fiercely
sure they've
intelligent.
Got developers who are also trying exactly. their best to figure out what those things
but
are.
But like kids
be.
Are always somehow a step ahead. So kids will get around it. So I think like the best thing you can do is make sure that your kids can tell you anything. Like that you aren't always there, that they don't have to live in fear of your ire if they ever do something wrong. I mean, I get so many calls from kids who have sent a nude to their boyfriend who's then spread it on, but we can't help them because they're under 18 and we need their parents to be on board with this contract, basically. But we say, you know, we need to tell your parents. Can we let them know? And they'd rather...
Isn't there a loophole if the boy asked for it, though? Because it's like... Okay, let me finish. But like, let's say, you know... How do I say this? It's like, yes, you made the child pornography, but how do you, what's the word when you don't crucify, what's the legal word for when somebody does something bad and then...
Oh, when you would charge them, open a case.
How do you, not charge, but how do you criminalize someone who didn't know that they were committing a crime in the first place?
Well, that's the... For many parents, it's not even about criminalizing. It's just about the way they react to the fact that their daughter has taken a nude. She's far more afraid of that reaction than all the consequences of this boy sending this around, which means now she won't be able to use us to then take legal avenue against this boy because she won't tell her parents to let them in. So I think like one of the most important things you can do is have those
But channels. Imagine your parent hearing from you versus them being like, suddenly seeing your nude on their phone.
But also, like, as a child, I remember, like, that absolute fear of how much trouble I was going to be in with my parents, and I'd rather just not tell them and deal with it myself.
I know that feeling.
And,
yeah,
like, the amount of danger that kids are then exposed to because they feel they can't tell their parents. That's you need to be, yeah, open. Like, give your kids a golden ticket to mess up online so that if they ever do be... And when they do become the victim of something online, it can get intensely bad. Creed, we were saying earlier how they will... groom kids. They will literally spend months building like a profile of a person that this kid will want to speak to, become like their best friend or be in a relationship with them or confidant. And eventually
they can even use AI to do that.
Yeah, even use AI and they will get them to send them nudes. And the moment they get one nude, they'll say, send me more, or I'm going to send this to your parents and your teachers and everyone in your school, and everyone's going to know how bad you are and what you've done.
And then the kids have heard hang themselves.
Yeah, we had a case of a mom who woke up at 3 a.m. to her daughter's alarm, and for months she'd been getting into this like Japanese schoolgirl outfit to read like child sexual abuse stories on live stream for her extorters.
Yeah.
And like that's the outcome then of not speaking to your kids, of not being that safe space, of not having that openness for them to come and have these conversations with you. Also, like, gone are the days when you can't speak to your kids about sex. Like, you have to be having
that
conversation.
Kids don't want to speak to us about sex. Like, Tando didn't want to. Like, I tried, and I was shut out. So how, I think that there should be, I don't know if there's any websites you can suggest where parents can go train themselves. I mean, every teenager is going to be different. But it's hard to get someone to speak to you who doesn't want to speak to you, because they're at that age where they're individuating, obviously, and they want to be seen as a separate entity to you, and you become actually a problem, you know?
Yeah.
No matter how hard you try. Because, I mean, I remember trying to connect and trying to talk about boyfriends and trying to do this, and I would just be shut out because it's not cool or whatever it is. So how do parents then go around that problem?
Man, that's a real problem. I realized, like, as you were saying that, like, I can't just always say, like, oh, just be open. Because now I remember when I was a teenager and my mom tried to have the sex talk, I was like, oh, my God, don't, please. Never
and you're
again.
Gen Z.
Never again. Like, I got all this information from the internet. I don't need to get it from you. It's a weird like fine line you need to walk in, not being too interested in them and trying to drag every part of their day out. Like one of the main things I would do is try and take an interest in what they're doing, in what their interests are and what they find, what engages them. Like I remember for myself as a kid, like I loved Minecraft, and I was always so disappointed when my parents weren't willing to engage or ask about it or find out what it is. And I understand, you know, video games are just not a concept to them, but it was a part of my world that was real.
Hey,
to
we
me
played video games, hey.
No, my parents are 60 and 70, so this is very
hectic.
Different.
Oh, yeah. Okay, fair.
Yeah. So it's about, taking an interest in their world on their level.
Or get professional help.
Or get professional
help. Actually, let's say that. Please speak to a child psychologist, make your own personal appointment, send your child to therapy to make sure everything's okay. Even that won't be full 100% proof plan. But I suggest that a parent maybe meet a child and be like, these are the problems I'm experiencing with my daughter and I'm concerned about 1, 2, 3. Also, there are many, many podcasts out there that I've been listening to that are pretty great. A lot of them are American based though, that help you parent a teenager, where parents share their solutions and problems that they've discussed. And maybe we'll link them in the description below, and you can go get to watch those particular podcasts that maybe we find are going to be helpful to you, because it's not going to be in exactly the same way that you can speak to exactly like every child out there. So yeah, I think as long as you've got the name of those apps, is there any other advice you'd like to give to parents and children out there? I think this should be the key that unlocks the door to you having social media. Parents, before you let them have a phone even, they must know how to read this book. Once they've finished reading this book and you can see there's highlighting, and you must read it too and test them and to see if they've actually read it. And if they've read it and they understand, and now they know the consequences and everything of them being on social media, having a phone, all those things, and how it won't only affect them, but also you and other people around them, then, you know, you don't want to get sued, ma'am. All right, cool. I think, how not to mess up online. So, you know, a teenager's guide. But I'm going to definitely check this out and read it. Thank you so much, man. If you have nothing else to share, Tando, do you have anything else to share, questions or opinions? No. No? You good? Mm-hmm. All right, cool. You mad?
Sorry, y'all caught me in the wrong way.
Anything you want to say to Rourke?
No, we had our conversation.
I've got one piece of advice.
All right, cool.
For anyone in the digital world, I want you to imagine a big billboard outside of your place of work and outside of your house. I'm going to say this to the camera, actually.
Oh, right. Emma said this.
I haven't given you guys enough attention today. Imagine a billboard outside your house, outside your place of work. A big one. On this side is your beautiful face. It's headshot day. Your teeth are nice and pearly white. Underneath your head is your name, where you work, and whatever else you do. That's important. On the other side of this billboard, whatever you're about to let exist in digital format. If you would not put it on that billboard, Do not let it exist at all. And I didn't say don't post it. Do not let it exist in digital format. In 2012, Jennifer Lawrence took a nude. She did not send it to anyone. It was on her phone for 2 minutes. Then she looked at it again, didn't like how she looked in it, and deleted it. It was already uploaded to iCloud, and 2 years later, iCloud was hacked, and her photo is now on the internet for everyone. So not don't post it. Don't let it exist in digital format. Not even as a draft in your notes app. That's my last 2 cents.
I remember Emma Sadler said that at the end of everything.
I need to go. Sorry, baby.
No, she said that at the end of the talk. She was like, just make sure. And then everyone started looking around. Everyone started looking to the side.
I need to go do a nice little go through everything. You know,
it's not going to change.
A digital cleansing.
Pearl, you've been famous for how long? Why haven't you done your digital cleanse yet?
I do it every other year.
Okay, I was going to say, because Gayton didn't.
I'm not, like, I take pictures of myself, like, just to be like, oh, okay, cool. But I'm not, look, man, if you have my pictures and you're trying to use them against me, like, all the best. Like, do what you got to do. Like,
no hate speech sitting
like all
15
the best.
Years ago.
Like, it wasn't child what. So anyway, I didn't hurt anyone. All the best. I think for me, this has been really, really powerful. Thank you so much. If I suggested we have you maybe if like, even if it's 5 or 10 minutes every show where you just highlight something in the book. You come back, because I think this is going to be an important topic. If we are bridging the gap on here on Say Less, how can we have you maybe come regularly and share? Maybe I don't know, once a month or whatever works for your schedule, because I'm springing this on you, but it came to me.
Can we bring Emma onto this on the show? I'm speaking this into existence.
Yeah, I think it would be really great for you to come here and be like, and maybe if there's a current case that's playing or you want to teach, if there's anything important you want to share.
Even once you're airing, you could like get questions from your listeners. I don't know what your production
this is so
thing
great.
Is going to look like. Yeah.
If you have #AskRourke. #AskRourke. If there's anything AI or digital law related, we will send the questions to him and then he will come onto the show. Are you committing to this?
Yeah, I'm committing now.
And if your question is really good, I will buy your signed book that he will then send to you. But I think send your questions through. It's going to be, as long as we're making a difference in the world, you know. Ask Rourke, hashtag Ask Rourke. And if you find really, really brilliant, Senna will be looking for the questions. Ask Rourke, hashtag Ask Rourke. Would they tell us, ask us anyway. And we're going to make sure Rourke gets to see those questions and the questions he thinks are most, what's the fancy word?
Pressing.
Exactly. The most pressing at that moment. We are going to make sure he answers them right here. And you can tune in for that. I think that will be really, really exciting. Thank you so much, man.
Thanks so much
for having
me.
I've learned so much.
Hey,
we definitely need to see you again.
Yes.
I need to get you a sister.
No, sorry, just like right at the end, I need a fangirl. I've loved you since the number one ladies detective agency.
Don't even lie.
What is that?
Yes, even lie. That was...
Don't even lie.
I was
lie.
A nerd kid, don't ask.
Oh my God, high five. Actually,
no,
that.
Yeah, that's Smith wrote
when I had
series.
To go to Botswana.
Yeah.
I do not know anything about
you
that.
You were like 2 years old. Anyway,
I can't even remember the betrayal. Anyway, loved yeah. It back then.
Thank you so much. That means so much to me. That was one of the first. That was my first international
hey,
gig.
International.
It
was like my
gig.
First like adult book I read, and I was so excited that they were adapting it. And
really,
yeah.
Do you know, it was my first book that I think they've adapted it, but I haven't watched it because I'm scared. The Power of One.
Ooh.
Bryce Courtney. That was the first big girl book I ever read. It was a big girl book because it's a huge book. Okay, we have a game to play.
We can't. Yeah. I don't know if we can.
We
still
did need
play
to change
it.
The, you know?
I wasn't able to change it because I was. I thought you were older than you are.
No, it's fair. It happens.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Okay, let's get into it.
I'm a shaker. Should be on Forbes 30 under 30.
Okay.
Don't just give the book to your children just because we said you're the parent. Read the book. Give it to your child. But I trust Rourke. So if Emma, how do you pronounce it properly? Sadler. If Emma Sadler trusts him, I trust him too. So get the book for your kid and make sure if they want a phone or whatever, maybe they should read it first.
So now we're moving on to the game. We call it Guess the Slang. Guess the Slang. That's what we're going to call it. Guess the Slang. So it's going to be a bit easier. It's going to be a bit harder for my mom. It's going to be a bit... Ooh. Let me take a breath. Let me carry on now.
It's just, should I send you English bundles?
Because we're funny today.
Another year of school.
Okay,
anyways.
To you.
Another year of school. It's coming. Anyways, I don't even remember what I was saying. Oh, it's going to be a bit harder because he's actually a Gen Z, but he's on the older side. So, whoa. Sorry. That sounded
literally
way worse
there's
than
10
I
years
to be.
Between all of us.
Yeah, 10.
So maybe we'll figure it, you know, let's see what happens.
And then I think yours are pretty hard.
Let's just go. Tando, let's just go.
Mom, okay. You aura points.
Why are you looking?
Because
I would kill you during 30 seconds.
No, he can't see his. He can only see yours.
Oh, okay. Let's go though.
I said aura points.
Aura points. Like, I don't know, like when you do aura points is like when your aura wins the point.
Oh.
Like I'm just trying to, I'm also a little bit hangry. But I think aura points is like if you pass the vibe check type thing.
No.
Oh, then tell me, educate me.
Educate me too.
Oh.
I would have thought like you've got aura points, you've passed the vibe check to an extent.
No, aura like, points is like, okay, it's like a running joke. Basically, you have like it's like a game, I think. This is how I think of it. But say you do something embarrassing, you lose a bunch of aura points. Mm. Like that's so embarrassing. Like,
you so you could also win them.
You get, like, there's something called aura farming. Like, you know, when you're just trying to look cool on purpose and everyone can see that, you're like, okay, dude, you're aura farming.
But aura farming is a negative thing then, still.
It can be positive, but most of the time it's like, bro, okay, calm down.
Gotcha.
Like, you're doing a lot.
You're
like,
glazing for the aura points.
Oh, that does not
sound. You're glazing aura points. You're glazing the aura.
It's okay.
I don't know. I'm just asking, like, because glazing, the way you described it, is like you're trying too hard for the aura points. You're doing too much.
But glazing is aimed at one person.
Yeah, it is. It's like
aura points. You're
okay. You're glazing
everyone.
The aura. No. I don't know. Like, I'm just going to push this until
glazing
we move
is,
on.
Glazing is towards a person.
Why does it have to be towards a person?
Oh, so like Philip Schofield was trying to aura farm after the ITV drama in the UK.
Is what? Pardon, say it again?
Philip Schofield has been trying to aura farm since the ITV.
Who is Philip Schofield?
He was the presenter of Good Morning Britain who was dating a very young intern on the show. Yeah, that's basically it. And he was so kicked he's off the show. And now he's like, yeah.
No, it's like, say he trips and it's like, oh my God, like, bro. Like, and then it's like, oh my
minus
God.
Minus aura points. Yeah.
Yeah. He lost like infinite aura points. Like that's, or like, if you're like, if you say something really smart, I'll be like, oh my God, like you got infinite aura points.
Got
like,
you. Got you.
Ate that up. Like,
so you passed the vibe check.
No. Vibe check and aura is different things. Aura is like your energy. It's like
you know, as a mom, it is so fun to stress your child out on purpose sometimes. I'm losing Gen Z points. Yeah.
She's raised me. She's raised me. She's anyways, okay. You've been saying the word I was gonna give him. You see now.
Say the what?
The vibe check.
Oh, the vibe check.
Yeah. He clearly knows what the vibe check is. We both agreed on it.
Yeah, but like. I wouldn't
yeah, but the problem is, I know, like, I can use this word, but explaining it is the other.
Yeah, because also sometimes I feel like she makes it hard so that we get it wrong. Like, it's like we're getting it, but like she wants us to
you
get it exactly.
You can literally look to anyone here. And
like, the game turns into an exam.
Clearly, I'm
vibe check is just like whether or not the person is lacquer.
So you that pass. Was also a joke.
Ah, your aura points are below on that joke, though.
Anyway.
I used that wrong, but I'm trying. Like, just be happy that I'm trying. Ah,
maybe don't try to embarrass me with my lingo.
When you know what? When I teach you stuff, and then you get it wrong, I don't laugh at you anymore.
Yes,
you
anymore. Do you hear that? Do you hear that?
Because you set a boundary with me about it, and then I stopped because I didn't realize it was upsetting you until you set that boundary.
As we move on,
vibe
check. I feel like, okay, yeah.
Well, a vibe check is when you just suss out whether or not someone is lacquer. You want, yeah.
I like the way I like the way he used that. No, you're sussing out, like you passed the vibe check, like you're actually a cool person. He used that.
No, but I thought, yes, a vibe check is like you're actually a cool person, but like, you know, it's like when, I thought it was like when you pass the vibe check is when someone matches the energy. Like, you know what I mean? When on social media, I've seen where someone just starts dancing and then the other person you'd never expect to actually dance is like actually matches the energy and it's like, oh, they passed the vibe check.
No.
I've never seen it.
That I'd say there's an overlap and sometimes to pass
I'm not
the
lying,
vibe
right?
check you gotta
guys,
match
if I'm
the
lying,
energy.
Let me know in the comments.
No, I definitely...
I've just never seen it that way.
I don't mind being
saying.
Wrong.
No, but I think, to pass the vibe check sometimes you gotta match the energy.
It's like, when a baby responds to something a parent is doing and they're like, the baby passed the vibe check. Like if the parent is doing something like weird and unusual. Yeah,
exactly.
So that's why I was like, 100%. That's what I understand vibe check to be. Like not like you're actually checking the vibe.
Okay. Mom, living rent-free.
Living rent-free?
Yeah.
Being a teenager.
Okay, no. I'm going to use it in the sentence when something lives rent-free in your head.
Oh, like when basically someone is occupying your mind. Like,
Yeah.
Okay, that is old. It's not Gen Z.
Yeah, it's resurfaced. If you're thinking about like the timeline, I haven't heard. Like, have you heard?
I've been like, oh my God, why am I living rent free in your mind? Like, you're obsessed with me. La 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 la.
Did you say that? Before?
Yeah, because you literally live rent free in my life.
Yeah, because I'm still like underage.
Exactly. Even if you weren't, you're always gonna live rent free in my mind.
Is a child not an asset to your life and not a?
That's. Thank you.
They're a blessing. Doesn't necessarily mean you're an asset.
You see how I'm just getting. Maybe
I just shouldn't have put my piece in there. What's the next one?
Like an asset. I guess she's an asset.
I just got offered another spot on the show. I'm not going to go.
Right, exactly. She's appreciating in value, but she's also a liability in terms of like she's a lot to maintain.
No comment.
No, like
not you.
Do you want to be low maintenance?
Oh, my bad. And then they say I'm defensive.
It's your friends that you invited here that are causing the confusion.
No, I just said one thing. Anyways, bet.
Who is bet? Bet. Bet. Just like it's affirmative, like bet.
Yeah, bet. Like
it's a word you say in the affirmative.
Okay.
What's the hand?
My American friends have been saying that.
Bet.
Like,
yeah, but
when
the thing
I was
is
in New York in 2016, like,
Gen Z
was
slang
like,
originates from, like, I think personally, like, American slang that's been used. So I don't.
Is it
a lot of AAV?
So then is it Gen Z, though?
Well, it's not here. And it's, like, worldwide now because of the fact that it's being used around Gen Z. So technically.
But it was in all our movies when we were, like, Gen Z, when we were little.
Bet.
Like, yeah. My friends been, like Americans been saying
but
bet.
This isn't only Gen Z slang, though. I said, that's why I said guess fair the enough. Slang. Fair enough. Okay. Because it's, cause he's fair also enough. A Gen Z.
Okay, so. fair enough. My apologies. I apologize for that. All right?
So you got it right. Mom? This is easy. Spilling the tea.
I almost feel offended. Like, sharing the gossip, telling them what's up, like, letting them know, like, yo, this is what's going on. Oh, my God. Like, this is what happened on social media. Oh, my God, I spilled tea.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't it come from like spilling the tea as in spill the truth?
No.
No.
No, like, the tea's hot. Like, yeah. I'm telling you this tea, like, the gossip is fresh.
Got you. It's hot out the kettle. I thought that came from, like, shortening truth to tea, and then we just ran with it from there.
How does tea and truth relate to each other?
So tea is the first letter of truth.
Oh, obviously. Yeah. Okay. That's hey, all, man. Maybe
that could be a different perspective.
Speculating,
on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, we should Google that. We should Google that. I've never thought of it that way.
Is this what the Greek philosophers did before Google?
It's like in those English movies, they go, so, do you know what I mean?
And wasn't that the original tea meme as well, was Kermit with his little Lipton?
Yeah, it was.
Hey, Lipton, we have a segment here called, like, What's the Tea? Where we want to, like, serve a gossip moment and sip tea. And I really love tea, guys. Serve us a moment. It doesn't have to be anybody, actually, who has nice tea. Nice tea. Nice tea. I like nice tea. Carry on, babe. Sorry.
Anyways, I got you an easy one from the last one, Shem. Because, you know, it's only fair.
Gotta be kind, yeah.
NPC, you should know this.
Non-playable character.
Thank you.
Wow, I didn't know it until... Ah, he was here earlier.
I was here.
He's a gamer.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, because I still like playing Minecraft, of course. Yeah,
yeah, okay.
Also, all that NPC chat from earlier was just so good.
Really? Oh, NPC nice. Side, yeah. Is that it?
Yeah.
You win.
That it. Hey!
Amazing, amazing,
I
love amazing.
I like to thank the Academy and my parents. And Tando for the easy questions.
All right, guys. Tando, anything you want to say to conclude, baby?
Stay safe online, guys. That's really all I have to say. Think about your digital footprint, whether you think about the fact that you're being famous or not. Remember that your universities and your jobs do background checks on you. So also just that aspect, personally, I think is really important to remember.
I think I can't add more to that particular thing. I mean, you rounded up quite well. I'm going to say, as a parent, if you're a child who's made a mistake in the past, or if you're an adult who's made a mistake in the past, whether it be online or just in real life, IRL, you know what I'm saying? IRL, is to say, do not weaponize your past mistakes to beat yourself up today, because now you have, perspective on what the past. So don't use your past to beat yourself up today now that you know better. Just do better moving forward and forgive yourself for your mistakes you've done in the past. But do not allow yourself or anyone else for that matter to beat yourself up for your mistakes you've made in the past.
Closing remarks.
Have fun and be yourself.
Type. Love that.
But make sure, if it wouldn't go on that billboard.
If it wouldn't go on that. And also, just because you're not Pearl doesn't mean you can't become the main character of the internet of the day. Always remember that. Yeah.
And usually, if it's going to be quick, it means you got to do something stupid. Don't be stupid.
Wait, what?
Take your time.
I'm lost.
Do something incredible. You've either got to do something extremely impactful or extremely stupid these days to have that moment on social media. So pick which one you're going to be. All right, cool, guys. Thank you so much. It's time for us to say less and go out there and do more and listen. Hopefully we can keep the name of this show. We can keep that name for the show. Thank you so much again for tuning in. Don't forget to...
comment who you agree with more from this episode, Pearl or Tando.
Thank you so much for joining us, and we hope you have a lovely day. I've got to go be a parent for a few minutes. I might have to let it drop.